Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Good to be back with you tonight. Good to have a little that funny liquid stuff coming down from the heavens. We're coming to the end of our monsoon season here. And it's a nice way to end it, huh? Praise the Lord. If you'd stand. If you wouldn't mind, just keep Sister Baker in prayer. She had pretty major oral surgery today and had a couple of teeth removed, and they scraped her jaw and gave her some bone from somebody else, and she's sitting back there. So just keep her in prayer if you would. But you know, we're expecting a complete recovery. And I'd like to read from Revelation, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Revelation 10, verses 1 through 11. Brother Wendell Martin and the church in Pawnee, Oklahoma, send their greetings. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake to me again and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. John's got a little bit of an attitude here, huh? Give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're grateful that we can gather together here once again on this midweek service. And Lord, we thank you for the rain. We know it's caused some problems for some that they weren't able to make it here tonight. But Father, we're thankful for those that were able to make it. And we just ask that you'd bless each and every one. Lord, grant us our portion here tonight. Father, we pray for the spirit of revelation. We pray that you'd open the eyes of our understanding to the things that we need to see in this hour, and our ears to the things that we need to hear. Father, we pray that you would hear our praise tonight, that you would hear our love making to you tonight, Lord, that you'd hear all of our requests, all of our needs, and all of our worship, Lord. And Father, that you would be glorified in everything that's said and done. Father, we thank you for your healing virtue, your healing power, and just ask, Lord, that you continue to heal my wife, and Lord, that you would completely restore her. And we thank you, Lord, for what the doctors are able to do, but you're the healer. So we trust it all in your hands tonight, Lord. Father, bless each and every one now. We give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I want to title the thought here for a few minutes tonight, A Little Open Book. A Little Open Book. A Little Open Book. A little open book. Did I say it was open? Revelation 10, 1 and 2. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. Now we know this is Christ. This is the theophanic Christ. He's not coming down physically, but it's a spiritual coming. It's a theophanic coming. It's a word coming. And his face was as it were the sun. Well, he's the sun. The bride is the moon. And his feet as pillars. Notice this doesn't say pillar, it says pillars. As pillars of fire, so little licks of fire. So it's made up of many pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. Brother Branham says in Revelation chapter 5, he says, the seven and the last one of these seals, when they're opened, it's found in Revelation, the 10th chapter, there was a mighty angel, he says, which was Christ, came down and put one foot on the land and one on the sea and raised up his hand and says, the day is finished. Time has run out. It's all over. Time shall be no more. And he said, at the sounding at this time, the mystery of God should be finished. Who God is and how he was made manifest and how, when that seal was opened, how we begin to understand now that he was the Son of God, that he was God himself made flesh, and the revelation of who he is, that should be finished before this angel can put his feet upon the land and sea and swear that there'll be time no more. He says, when this time comes, we're right in the front yard of it right now, see? Now that was in 1961, in June of 1961. We're closer than the front yard now. Hallelujah. So this scripture we know was written, it was penned over 2,000 years ago, and it's been laying in the scripture dormant, waiting for the hour when Christ himself would reveal it to the seventh angel messenger that would be on the earth at the time of his coming. And John, of course, who represents the bride of Jesus Christ, he hears the voice that tells him to take the open book from the hand of this angel. And this angel is Christ. So the only way you can take this open book from his hand is for you to meet him. And the only way you're going to get it is he places it in your hand. Actually, if you take it from his hand, right? It's you and him. You won't get it from the pastor. You won't get it from the deacons. You won't get it from people that walk with Brother Branham. You won't get it from Brother Branham. You'll only get it from Christ. Amen. It was revealed through the seventh church age messenger in this hour, but it's Christ that reveals it to you. Revelation 10, verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. So it's sweet on your lips. It's sweet in your tongue. The word is just so rich and it's so sweet, but when you swallow it, it starts a war. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. So notice, John says he had in his hand a little book open. Now, we know that the book of Revelations is a book of symbols. And we've had these symbols that John wrote in the book. We've had these symbols ever since John wrote it. Ever since John was told what to write down in the book, he wrote down symbols. He didn't write down what he saw, but he wrote down symbols. But we didn't know what the symbols signified until the Lamb himself opened the book and removed the seals from the book. He descends from heaven with a book open in his hand. And it's a book of redemption. So it contains the entire story of redemption from beginning to end. So we know this book is the Bible. Because the Bible is the book of redemption. It is the story of redemption. And it also represents the title deed to the kingdom of this earth, which was given to Adam originally. But that title deed went back into the hands of the original owner, which is Almighty God Himself, Spirit God, went back into the eternities when Adam fell from his position and was sent from the Garden of Eden with his wife. So in this book are the names of the redeemed. They are the names of the family of heaven and of those that serve the bride and the bridegroom throughout eternity, which is Israel as servants of God. And those names were to be spoken by Adam. And his wife, her part was to agree. Her part was to say, let what is done in heaven be done on earth. Her job was to only, that's her only job. That's her only part, is to believe and to only believe. To believe that spoken word when her husband spoke it, as she's a type of a spiritual bedding ground for the word. Somebody here on the earth has to agree with the word for the word to come to pass. But we know that Lucifer got to this woman before Adam could speak those names. And she believed the lie of Lucifer, and she brought forth children after the flesh instead of after the soul or after the spirit. But God promised that He would restore His fallen family. Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this thing, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity. That means that they'll no longer be able to mix. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. So he's speaking to the serpent, and he's speaking to the woman, but he's also speaking to Lucifer. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now the woman doesn't have a seed. But God is telling Lucifer that the serpent and the woman will no longer be able to bring forth a hybrid that's between a woman and a serpent. And Lucifer will bruise the head of Christ on the cross at Mount Calvary, and Christ would then bruise Lucifer's head when he defeats death on the cross. So the Lord is speaking to the serpent when he says this, but he's also speaking to Lucifer, who'd found a way to inject his spiritual seed into the human race through the woman. But what I want us to notice tonight is, he says the seed would bruise the head of Lucifer. And in this seed is the new race. In this seed is the second creation. In this seed is the only begotten of the Father. In this seed is both masculine and feminine. In this seed is a bridegroom and a many-membered bride. This is the royal seed that was promised to Abraham. And when the Lord God spoke those words, they were mysterious. And it would be thousands of years before the mystery was made known in flesh, even though the mystery was unfolding throughout time. And then it would be another 2,000 years before the rest of the hidden mystery would be finished. Revelation 10:2, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and left foot upon the earth. Now that word open, here's a few definitions for that word. Open, no restrictions. See the contents, involving no concealment. Once it's open, it's open. You know, people make it more mysterious when it's open than it was before it was open. When it's open, it's open. There's no concealment. There's no restrictions. How about this? Open to criticism. You can throw darts at it all you want. It's too late. open to criticism, welcoming discussion and inquiry, because it's open, of a note. So speaking of a musical note that's open, allowed to vibrate along its full length. Oh my. You know, when a string on a piano is struck, that it vibrates and it brings forth a note. But it also brings forth harmonics of that note. And you can't hear those harmonics. But the strange thing about it is that if those harmonics are missing, it doesn't have the same quality of sound to you, even though you can't hear those harmonics. So there's an unheard part that you're hearing. To leave a space, to allow access to view, to lose protective cover. The seal was pulled back. It's open. To lose protective cover. There's no need to protect it any longer, because if it would have been open sooner, Satan would have done great damage. But it's too late. To come into view. To spread out before someone. To stop to marvel at. Open book. To stop to marvel at. Now, this is right out of the dictionary. It says, an eagle opens or spreads its wings. When the book came open, the eagle spread its wings, the Old Testament and the New Testament. To take action. To make ready for use. Well, when it's open, we're making ready for use. To make vulnerable. The mighty God unveiled before us. And His bride likewise unveiled. Easy to understand. As in a person making the self an open book. So Christ becomes an open book. But so does His bride. So this book of redemption, it was once a disputed document. The record was sealed until the work of the kinsman redeemer could be completed. Each name had to be declared here on the earth. Each name had to be saved, had to be sanctified, blood had to be sprinkled by the Lamb Himself over every name that came forth on the earth. Each one required a high priest to intercede for them. And when the last one comes in and the last one is sealed, then the Lamb claims them and then He comes for them. So when this book is opened and the end time believer eats this book, they find that the mystery of Christ is revealed in them. The mystery of God is finished, and they are the finishing of the mystery of God. The final part of the mystery is being revealed, and it's Christ in bride form. So this is the mystery that's being finished. It's not mysteries, it's mystery. Now, within that mystery is lots of mysteries. But when all these mysteries are made known, it's only to uncover one mystery, which is the bride and Christ. So this is the mystery that's being finished, and this is what has been declared unto His servants, the prophets. What's been declared unto His servants, the prophets, is the Word of God from Alpha to Omega, from Genesis to Revelation, the entire story of redemption, which is your Bible. So it's the mystery of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride who are now joined in a holy union. And it's the mystery of redemption made known as it's manifested now in human flesh. It's Christ, the mystery of God, made known in you and to you. Amen? You're actually the mystery that's being finished. We looked at that, you know, and we thought, oh my, it's to understand this mystery and understand that mystery. It's for you to know Christ and for Christ to show you who you are, to fully reveal you in your day, His coming in your hour, in your day. You're the mystery that's being finished. And once you're finished, we can go home. Hallelujah. So let's look at this word open as it's used in the New Testament. Now, I was going to start at John chapter 9, but I missed one here. And so I'm going to give our translator a moment to pull this up. It's Matthew 13 and verse 35. So Matthew 13 and verse 35. Now, the word open is used many times in the New Testament. So we want to look at and catch some context from the New Testament. So Matthew 13 and verse 35. Matthew 13 is, there's seven parables that Jesus is telling. And verse 35, he says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So he opened his mouth and he spoke in parables. So what he spoke was still a mystery, but it was spoken. So the fact that it was spoken and it was spoken in parables meant that he would reveal those parables to somebody. Right? It would be a parable. It would be parabolic. It would to the masses. It would be a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But to the bride of Jesus Christ, to the elect, it would speak right to them. John chapter 9, verse 26. Then said they unto him again, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Remember the man that was blind that Jesus opened his eyes? He answered them and he said, I told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Or why would you want to hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Is that what you're asking? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. What a bunch of numbskulls. Moses spoke of him. But we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fella, we know not from whence he is. Speaking of Jesus, as we don't know where Jesus comes from. Then the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? This is the first time in human history that somebody was born blind and Jesus opens his eyes. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins. And dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? So his natural eyes had been opened, but his spiritual eyes are not open yet. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus saith unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. His spiritual eyes were open now. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. That's us. And that they which see might be made blind. That's those that claim to be able to see. And some of the Pharisees which were with them heard these words. And they said unto them, are we blind also? Jesus saith unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore your sin remaineth. So that word open is, you know, your eyes are the window to the soul. And your eyes are also what allows light into your body, both natural and spiritual speaking, and only God can open your eyes. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." So what I want you to notice is the sequence of events here. First of all, he stood, right? The Lamb stood up from the midst of the throne. He stood. Then he took the scrolls and he opened them. They were closed. Nobody could understand them. He took the scrolls, he opened them, then he read the portion, oh my, that was being revealed about him from an open book. And then he closed the book again, and it says he gave the book back to the minister, and then he sat back down. And he said, "This day this scripture is fulfilled." And yet the book remained closed to the ministers because their eyes were blinded from the truth for our sake. The Jews were blinded for our sake. So his word is now on our lips. The word of God is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. It's on our lips, and it ushers forth from our mouths. The bride of Jesus Christ is the final voice in the final age. She's not saying something different. She's saying what's already been said. But she's saying it by revelation. She's saying it with understanding. So it's on her lips. Now, I had a DNA test several years ago to trace my family lineage. It's not important, neither here nor there, but the Lord was going to show me something in the spiritual realm through this. And so what they do is they give you a swab that's in a little vial of liquid. There's some kind of liquid in there, and when you get that, you pull out this swab and you put it inside your mouth and you're supposed to work it back and forth, rub it on your cheek. And what that's doing is it's scrubbing off some of your cells that are on your cheek from inside your mouth. And then the DNA that makes up the Y chromosome, which is carried by the male, they extract that from the cell. They unravel it so that it can be studied and so that it can be matched with others that have the same DNA patterns in the different segments. But God has a DNA test also for his sons and daughters. And the test involves matching what's in your mouth with what's in his word. And if you are his son, if you are his daughter, his word will be in your mouth. John chapter 10, verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, "Well, he hath a devil, and he's mad. Why hear ye him?" Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" He's the one that opened the eyes. John 11, speaking of Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. John chapter 11, verse 37. And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind, couldn't he have caused that even this man should not have died?" Of course he could have. But he came on the fourth day to show he is the resurrection and the life. Then Paul shows both Jew and Gentile, they're both born in sin, that there's, you know, the Gentile, the Jew doesn't have preference over the Gentile, the circumcision over the uncircumcision. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, he says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. We never sought after God, he came after us. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Now, a sepulcher is a tomb. It's where you bury people. And he says their throat is an open sepulcher. So it's open, and what's coming out of their throat is death instead of life. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. So it can be open for good things and it can be open for bad things. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul says, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master that's in heaven. Continue in prayer, watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. So we're finding in several places that opening and mysteries in Christ, it's all tied together. To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. So the Philadelphia church age, or the sixth church age, which John Wesley was the angel messenger to that church age. That age, Brother Bram says, was an age of missions. It was an age of an open door for the gospel. It's an open door that comes open between the sixth church age and the seventh church age. And Brother Branham said it's in a lap over. It's in a lap over period between the sixth and the seventh church age. And Jesus Christ is that door. Are you with me? Let's just read it how he says it in the Philadelphia church age. He says, now let's just read it now. Catch it word by word, just the way he brings it. Behold, let's see, no man shutteth. Set before thee an open door. It's on the other side. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. An open door. What was it? It was the revelation of the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. So what's coming open is the revelation that he's one, and that his name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and baptism in his name. It was the revelation of the supreme deity of Jesus Christ, not being a second person of the Trinity, but being God himself made flesh and dwelling among us. And the revelation, he says, if you notice just a minute, let's just read a little bit further. Shut it. It has a little strength, has not denied my name. He says, the first time the name's been spoke of now since back in this age back here, they lost its name. Luther come out with a name that he was alive and was dead. It was still Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But here comes out the name of Jesus again. In between these two ages, in between, he says, the open door. He says, now it's a revelation what he was, the deity, the revelations of his deity. Now this is, Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's That's what he's been doing, is making himself known to each one that he places into the body. And he lets you know, I'm the Lord Jesus Christ. He breaks on you the mystery of the supreme deity, that it's God manifested in flesh. You say, oh, that's, you know, big deal and whatever. It's a revelation. And you don't get anywhere without that. He goes on to say, now we find out that in this great revelation that God gave here to the church in the last days, that God sent and reveals himself the open door between the two ages. He says it wasn't in the Laodicean age, neither was it in the other age, the Philadelphia age, but it's in between, the lap over. He says, I'll prove it in just a little further down and you'll get it. You'll see. We'll make it rich so sure that you can't keep from seeing it if you just want to see it. All right? Now the revelation of himself is where he's built. That's where he's built his church. He says, how many knows that to be true? He built his church upon the revelation of himself. He says, all right, now what did he say? No man can shut it. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. So he's opened the door to show us who he is. And nobody can keep you from that. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Nobody can shut that door. He says, what is the open door? The revelation of the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. What did he say to the first church back here, back in this age? He said, I am he that was, which is, and shall come. I am the first and the last. I am almighty. I am the almighty. He said it three different times. He made himself deity to this first church here, to the Ephesian church, before he went to the last church age, and he said, I set before you an open door. We needed to go through that door. We needed that door opened in order for our hearts to be turned back. Before he went into the last church age, he said, I set before you an open door. If you want to see the revelation, here it is. And it's amazing what people have turned this into. All kinds of doctrines have come out of this. If you want to see the revelation, here it is, where he would build his church. And the only way that he could take his church is back to the revelation of what he is. It's Matthew 16 all over again. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then he tells you who you are. He places you upon a rock, the revelation of Jesus Christ to you personally. Now I know, friends, that we've heard this and we've heard it, and it sounds so simple, which it is, but so many miss the door. They've been blinded to the door with all kinds of ideas and thoughts and no pressing. Goes on to say, I have set the open door. I have the keys. I'm the only one that can open it. I'm the only one that can reveal it. I have the keys. Is that right? There's no man that can come to me except my Father draws him. And all the Father has given me will come to me. No man can be saved only through Jesus Christ. Not through any church, any organization, any bishop, pope. Just through Jesus Christ. He has the key. He's the only one. The keys of what? David. The future coming millennium where he'll sit on the throne of David. I have the keys of David. I'll open this door. Nobody can shut it. Nobody can open it but me. And nobody can shut it but me. Amen. Speaking of him. He says, how can it be? How can any man know he is Christ until he's revealed himself to him? See, he reveals himself. He has the key. He can open it or leave it alone. See, I have the key to the door. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. Oh, I am Alpha. I am Omega. I'm the first. I'm the last. I'm the Father. I'm the Son. I'm the Holy Ghost. I am, not I was or will be. I am that I am. That said the whole thing. I am, not I was or will be. I am, that means living presence for eternity. See? I am, always was, always will be. I am now as I always was and always will be. He's just I am, he says. have the keys of David to the kingdom. No man can shut it. The seventh verse proves that, all right, that he has the keys of David and no man can shut it. He says, now let's look at the next thing quick. For thou hast a little strength. He says, said to this little group down here, you've got just a little strength now. What does that mean? Just like a man that's been dead, kind of shaking himself, coming alive, reviving up a little, coming to life. You've come up out of them old dead creeds and everything, and you begin to come to life a little bit. Shaking yourself. This is the church waking up. Kind of waking yourself up. You got a little strength, but I've set before you a door now. And as soon as they come out of Lutheranism and Papalism and all those other isms, and Methodistism and everything, he said, I've put a door before you. Now, you've got a little strength. What are you going to do about it? It's set before you. You can walk in or walk out. Either one you want to. The door is set before you. You've got a little strength. Just coming to life, you're just beginning. Revelation 10, verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things therein are. So we've got heaven and the earth and the things that therein are. So we've got heaven, we've got earth, and the sea, and the things which are therein. So heaven, earth, sea. That there should be time no longer. So we know that the seventh seal is the beginning of the ending of all things. All things end on the seventh seal. So the seventh seal contains an awful lot. And the seventh seal will still be in effect until throughout the millennium. Until time is no more. The time will be no longer. But it has to be open in order for it to progress. For these things to be fulfilled. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery, singular, of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And of course we know what he has declared to his servants the prophets is the word of God. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. This word mystery, it's from the Greek word mysterion. And it's interesting because it's a noun, and in so many languages, there's a masculine and there's a feminine of different nouns and verbs and so on. But this word, mystery, it's a noun and it's neutral. It's both male and female. To finish. To perform the last act of. We are in the final act of redemption. We are in the last act of it. So to finish it is to... is to, for this portion to be played out. For this portion to be manifested in human flesh. It's the final act of redemption. And it's revealed at the time when it's too late for our enemy to stop it. And yet our enemy is getting to watch this as it unfolds. Friends, Satan is, he's tore up right now. He's upset right now. He's going about as a roaring lion. He's in a panic right now. And I'll tell you why he's in a panic. Satan has declared all this time, you belong to him. He said, I've got a right to take their body in death. Right? I've got a right to keep them from coming forth in a resurrection. Because look at all the liens that are against this title deed throughout the church ages. You've done this, you've done that. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. In each age, there was something against the church. Something that they'd lost. Something that they'd fallen from, and it became a lien on the title. Just like if you have a, let's say you've got a vehicle, and you go get a loan, and you give them your title. I guess they call that a title loan, right? and you give them the title, you can't now sell your vehicle until you pay off that loan and get the title back. So there's a lien now on the title, and it's whoever you borrowed the money from, whether it be the credit union or the bank or some extortionist down Fifth Avenue or whatever. That lien has to be cleared. Otherwise, you own it, sort of. You own the vehicle, but not really. Because you're not at liberty to do whatever you want with it. Because somebody else has an interest in it. So all these liens were on the title. And so Satan knew that these liens were on the title. And so he knew that the resurrection wasn't going to be able to take place throughout the ages. But a shout came forth in our day, in our hour. And those that heard the shout come out, they came out. But they also went in somewhere. They came out because there was a title search that was performed. And that title search erased all the liens that were on the title. It wiped away all the liens, which allowed you to come out, which gave you liberty when you came out. And it also allowed you to go into someplace. You went into Christ. You went into a secret place. And Satan goes to looking for you. And he can't find you. Sister Vecchini, he doesn't know where you're at. You know, we use words all the time, the devil this and the devil that, and the devil did this to me and the devil did that to me. First of all, most of us, or probably all of us, will never face the devil ourselves. We'll face his imps. But if you're in Christ, oh friends, we take this for granted. It is so simple, but it's so profound. It's way simple, but it's way profound. Since we've been set free, since the title has been cleared, it has given us it's given us freedom to go into Christ. It's given us freedom to look into a book that we couldn't even touch, that no one was worthy to touch, no one was worthy to open or look on. And now we're not only told to look on it, but to eat this book. And so we go into Christ, and when you're in Christ, Satan can't find you. You, friends, you've already raptured in your soul. You've already been caught up. You've already been called out. And Satan can't find you. And he's in a panic right now. He's in a big panic because there's a whole group of people that are disappearing that he has no power over. He has no authority over. He didn't have power or authority anyway, but now they know that he doesn't. And they are hid in Christ. And the only way that Satan can get to you tonight is for him to come into Christ. And if he came into Christ, he'd be your brother. He'd be no threat. He doesn't know where you're at. He can't find you. He throws darts and he's waiting to hear you go, ow, ow, to indicate where you're at. He cannot find you. You are hidden tonight and revealed in a secret place. And you are in the secret. And you are the secret. You can see plainly behind the veil the opening of the word. People say, I don't believe the word's open. Well, to you it isn't. But I can't not see it. My eyes have been open. I see an open book. And I see plainly what I only saw in symbols before. And it's simple. But you can only see it behind the veil. Because Christ is the one that you take it from. And he's got to be in you. Which is why you've got to meet him first. And it's why he's got to come in you so he can teach you whatsoever things you've heard. Hallelujah. So you see plainly behind the veil the opening of the word. And that's in your soul. That's where you're seeing it. That's where you're having communion with him. You're communing with the Son of Man behind the veil. And the veil is your flesh. You can't see with any of your natural senses behind that veil, but your faith sense tells you. Amen. Amen. And that's where that part of you that came from God has been quickened, behind the veil. The part of you that's sinless is behind the veil. It's not fleshly and it's not spiritual. It's in your soul, behind the veil. And Satan can't find you. Oh, friends, let that break on you. Satan doesn't know where you're at. Oh, sure, he still has access to this. Right? But so do you. You, by the word, you can take authority over this. He has access to try to tempt you. He has access to try to stall you. He has access to try to put sickness on you and discouragement and all these other things. But behind the veil, you just believe. Hallelujah. So you're standing on a rock behind the veil. And you are hidden in the secret. And only those that are behind the veil can see the open book. I know I'm using terms that make it sound complicated again, but it really is simple. You're born again of His Spirit. And then He comes in. He knocks. You open the door. You allow Him to come in. This is not happening in the Laodicean church. This is not happening in the masses. This is only happening in those that have heard the voice and they've come out. They've come out and they've went in. Hallelujah. You can't show it to the world. Oh, I know it's frustrating. We've all tried. And we'll continue to try. We want to show everybody. But nevertheless, it is shown to the world as Christ is manifested in you and through you. You've eaten the book and you've become one with it. And you are now the open book in your day. You are the portion of the word that's being quickened and lived out in this day, read of all men. You're not trying to be that. That's what you are. And it's taking place in the third realm. It's not taking place in your mind. It's not taking place in your flesh. It's taking place in your soul. Notice, this mighty angel of His own covenant, Christ, clothed with a cloud. And then they want to dispute the cloud. Face shining as it were the sun. Mount Transfiguration. He descends from heaven with a shout. He stands on the earth and the sea. And the seal, the seventh seal, has been taken away from the book along with the other seals. But the seventh was the last one before He could descend. It was sealed, but those seals have been removed by the Lamb Himself. I know it's Wednesday night, but just bear with me for a couple more minutes. And what was behind the seventh seal is Christ. It's Christ in you. It's the living Word living in you. It's the coming of the Lord, but it's not the coming of a physical coming, but it's Him coming in you to sup with you and you with Him. He said, I'm Alpha and I'm Omega. He wasn't everything in between. He was Alpha and Omega. John 14:20, very familiar scripture, but this scripture isn't fulfilled until this day. Till now. At that day, that's tonight. At that day, you shall know, not hope, wonder, probat, you shall know that I'm in my Father. And you are in me. And I am in you. Oh, hallelujah. Friends, there was a time when we were in Him, and then Christ died on the cross, and we came out of His side. We were a hidden mystery in Him being revealed. Amen? But now He's in you. You're in Him, but now He's in you. Now it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now it's Christ in you, the mystery of God being revealed. Hallelujah. You shall know that I am in my Father. You are in me. We are hidden in Christ. Right? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I'm in you. Son of Man. The Word. In you. Anybody ever heard of a group called the Navy SEALs? You're supposed to say, who hasn't, right? The Navy SEALs are the elite forces of the U.S. Navy. They're the special forces used for special missions. Missions that are done in secrecy. You know, go out and pull this one. Go out behind enemy lines and pull this one out or pull that one out. And, right? And SEAL stands for Sea, Air, and Land Team. So we got a mighty angel in heaven, in the air, with one foot on the sea and one foot on the land. Right? The book comes open. The seal has been pulled back. And warfare has begun on land, sea, and air. And God has special forces on the earth tonight. He's got special forces because when that book came open, we had to take that book, eat it. The mind of Christ comes in you. Brother Bram says, we now have his word and know what he wants done with it. They didn't have the fullness of the word throughout the ages. But the person of the word, the living word, is now in you. As you feed on it, and he reveals it to you, you now have his word. You know what he wants done with it. And here's what he wants done with it. He wants you to cast down everything that exalts itself above the word of God. Everything on the heavens, everything on the earth, everything in the sea. We are overcoming political power. We are overcoming religious devils. Amen? We are overcoming death itself. Death holds no power over this last age church. And we are completing a final mission. God has special forces here tonight. And that's to go into, this is the final mission. Go into every nation. Go to every kindred. Go to every tongue, go to every people, and preach the gospel. You say, oh, that, you know, we've been doing that for 2,000 years. No, we haven't. Preaching the gospel is in word and power and action. It's a living word. We didn't have the fullness of the word. We couldn't preach this gospel that Jesus said. He said, this gospel must be preached unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Couldn't happen till now. We didn't have this gospel. Now we have this gospel, and we have special forces that are on the earth. They've eaten this book, and now they're told to go and prophesy. They're told to go to every kindred, nation, tongue, and people, go behind enemy lines, and find that last one. Because we're not getting out of here until that last name that's on the book, till this word comes to them, and they've got to be sealed in just like the rest of us. That's what we're waiting for. We're not waiting for something else to open up. We're not waiting for a new revelation. We're not waiting for a new sermon. We're waiting for the last one. And somebody has to do it. And it's the bride. Now we can't all go, but we can send somebody. Amen. And if we can't send somebody, we can pray. But we've all got a part in this. And we're not getting out of here until this is finished. And it's been prophesied that it will be finished. Hallelujah. We're completing the final mission. And that's to go into every nation. That's North Korea. That's these Arab Spring where all these nations had to open up so we could go in behind enemy lines. To go into every nation, to every kindred, tongue, and people, and preach the gospel. So we're trying to find that last one so that the saints of all the ages can go home. A little book open. Let's stand tonight. What does it mean to you tonight, friends? Is this just, you know, we talked about the message and Brother Branham and wonderful. Brother Branham has his place. The bride has her place. But what's the significance of this book? What's it mean to you tonight? It's not a symbol any longer. Amen? It's a living word. It's an open book. It's us, you know, we had this book, but we had no light. So even if you were to open the pages of the Bible, you couldn't understand it because you had no light. So it took light here in the end time. Amen. The book had to come open, and then it took an evening time light to strike that. And some Malachi 4 ISAB to open our eyes. Because without that ISAB, we wouldn't be able to see. And it's opening our eyes so that the light can shine into our soul and quicken that gene that's on the inside and allow that word to come on the inside. And then the one on the inside then teaches it to us, breaks it down to us. That's why you can't be deceived. You can't be deceived because the word is in you. Oh, friends, I want somebody to say, praise the Lord. You cannot be deceived. You cannot fall away. You say, well, what about this and that and the other? They're not sealed. They didn't get born again of the Spirit of God. Plain and simple. And it's not to say that they won't, but they haven't. You cannot fall away. You cannot be deceived. There's keeping power in this. And you have thus saith the Lord. You have thus saith the Scriptures. Or you keep your mouth shut. Amen. The mystery is being finished. The mystery of God revealed in you. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, as we stand here tonight, Lord, I just tremble when I think about these things. Lord, we don't want it to become common. The very last thing in the world we want is for this to become common. This is the hour. This is the moment. This is the time, the season, when these things are breaking forth. And Lord, when they do break forth, as you said, Lord, we saw at the opening of the first seal and the second seal, a beast stepped forth and said, come and see, come and see. But in the third seal, a voice spoke from the midst of the throne, which is you. And that voice said, a measure of wheat for a penny and a measure of barley for a penny, but see, thou hurt not the oil or the wine. That was so important. You didn't leave that to a living creature. You didn't leave that to someone else to go and confer that. But you drew a line in the sand. You spoke to your enemy and you said, here's what you can do and here's what you can't do. You can charge for novenas. You can charge for prayers. You can charge for this and that. You can charge for bread. But don't you touch that oil or that wine. And Lord, we know now that that oil and that wine, the oil is revelation and the wine is a stimulation that comes from that revelation. And Lord, the oil is flowing here tonight. Lord, the word has been revealed. It's been restored. Lord, we have the same word that they had in the Ephesian age and the Alpha church. We have the fullness of the word in this hour. And a door is open, but there's nothing going to hinder us from stepping through that door in this age. In this time, Lord, when the last one comes in, we'll go through that door. Father, you've already made a way of escape. You said you would send Elijah the prophet before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. You've made a way of escape in this hour. And Lord, those that have been called away and caught up in you, they've already escaped. They've escaped the sin and the corruption that's in flesh through lust. They've escaped the trappings of Laodicea. They've escaped the blinding glare and the lukewarmness of this age. They've escaped all of that and they've been hidden in you. And Lord, you're going to keep them, each and every one. You said that you would gather together all things in one, even in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we're living in that time when everything is being gathered together in you. And Lord, surely soon the dead in Christ will rise and we will all be gathered together. But right now, the living are being gathered. Those that have been called forth from the tombs of denominations in this hour, from the graves of man's ideas and where the Spirit has been bound over the ages, but they've been called out, Lord. And Lord, they've entered into a bride time. Lord, we know your prophet called it a bride age, but we also know that men with without proper understanding, without revelation. They've tried to turn it into another age that's beyond the Laodicean church age. We're still in the age. We're still facing the symptoms of Laodicea. We're overcoming. That's what we're overcoming. We're in Laodicea, but we're not of Laodicea. But Lord, it's a bride time because you're no longer dealing with the Laodicean church. There was nothing good to be said about it. You counseled them to buy gold tried in the fire. You said they were naked, wretched, blind, poor, and don't know it. But Lord, you've counseled us to buy of you gold tried in the fire and white raiment that our nakedness would be covered, and eye salve that we would be able to see. And you counseled us to repent with zeal, zealously. Lord, I'm so thankful that I can repent in this hour. I'm so thankful that you're still dealing with the hearts of men. I'm so thankful that I can still be convicted, Lord. It just seems that whatever's entering into men's hearts these days, it seems that as your spirit begins to lift across the land, it just seems that the urgency is no longer there, and the lukewarmness is just settling in, Lord. But there's something in us that's just driving us, Lord, because we're not of this world and we're not of this Eden. We are being gathered together in Satan's Eden, and we're being hidden from his view. He can't find us when we're hidden in you. Lord, I pray that the eyes of every person would be open, Lord. Father, that the revelation of Jesus Christ would be made personal to each and every one. Lord, because we know that when we're hidden in you, you said you'd lead us into all truth. You said, my sheep know my voice, another they will not follow. Lord, these signs have been to draw us to a voice. And once we've heard the voice, now we can tell your voice from every other voice. And Lord, we'll only listen to your voice. And Lord, your spirit within us allows us to discern. And your word that's in us discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. It discerns good from evil. It rightly divides truth from error. It's not us. It's Christ in us. It's the word, the living word. Our confidence is not in us tonight, Lord, but it's in you, in us. So, Lord God, I just pray each and every one of us, Lord, may we just press that much more. May we shake ourselves, Lord, as your prophet said they did in between the two ages, between the sixth and the seventh age. You said the church began to shake itself and as like a man coming that's escaping from death and coming to life, had a little strength. Father, we ought to have a lot of strength in this hour. We shouldn't just be shaking off things, but we ought to be on fire. Lord, our eyes ought to be bright. Lord, we ought to know exactly what it is that you want us to do. We ought to have your word. Lord, we've had many years, many of us, we've had many years to hear your word, to allow you to break it down to us, to teach us through your ministering gifts and through your Holy Spirit in our lives. And Father, it's time for these things to be on display. It's time for these things to be made manifest. Oh God, help us. Help us to shake ourselves. Help us, Lord, to not get caught up in things that are just a waste of time. And surely, Lord, we don't want to, we know this isn't a flesh and blood battle. So we don't want to mind the things of the flesh, and we don't want to battle carnal things, Lord, but we want to walk in the Spirit. Father, we want to cast down reasonings, imaginations, memory. Father, we want to burn everything off of our land. Lord, we want to burn memories if we have to, and imaginations. We don't want to leave anything on our land that our enemy can feed on. But instead, Lord, we want to feed on your word. And we know our enemy can't feed on your word. So it gives him no life. It starves him out of our house. So we don't want to give him anything in our house to feed on. So we're going to walk in the Spirit, Lord. We're going to walk in your word. And Lord, we're going to endeavor to be used by you to finish this great commission, Lord, which we've all been called to do. Grant it, O God. Show us our part, each and every one, Lord. And Father, we surely will give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you love him tonight? Yeah.